Hello, I'm Joseph Prince. Today, I'm excited to share with you about the power of right believing. My friend, do you know that what you believe about God is so powerful? It can mean a life of defeat or a life of victory, a life of bondage or a life of freedom. If you're struggling today with some form of fear, guilt, or addiction, there is very likely a wrong belief in your mind that is leading you down this path of defeat. The good news is, if you can change what you believe, you can change your life. Right believing will always produce right living. When you start believing right about God's love for you, those thoughts of defeat will begin to be replaced by thoughts of victory, favor, and good success. As you listen closely to what I'm about to share with you in this program, you can receive the freedom that our Lord Jesus wants you to experience through the power of right believing. Stay tuned and enjoy this special program.
The power of right believing is all about Jesus became sin on my behalf that I might become his righteousness. Amen. And when I believe that I am righteous not by my actions, not by my works, but I'm righteous as a gift from Jesus because he took my sin. He didn't do sin to become sin at the cross. He took my sin. I didn't do righteousness to become righteous. I receive his righteousness. Amen. And when Jesus received my sin, God treated him, amen, with abandonment. Amen. With God sent his curses on Jesus. Don't be shocked. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13, he was cursed that we might be blessed. But he did no sin. Amen. Peter said he did no sin. John says in him is no sin. Paul says he knew no sin. All of them, you know, Paul is an intellectual, so he said Jesus knew no sin. John is a man of love. He says in Jesus is no sin. Peter is a man of action. He says, Jesus did no sin. In any case, there's no sin. Amen. But yet, he suffered like no one suffered. Now, by the same token, in the same measure Jesus suffered, God's forsakenness, God's curse, God's judgment, God's punishment, in the same way, today, you and I should expect God's favor, God's blessings, God's goodness, God's mercy. Right. Amen. 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 Because why? But you say, Pastor Prince, we didn't do anything right. Neither did Jesus do anything wrong. Amen. So we should walk tall in this. This is the gospel. Amen. This is the good news. Amen. Will the real gospel please stand up? Amen. When you believe wrong, you live wrong. When you believe right, you live right. So today we have people removing the gospel and they said, you gotta live right, you gotta live right. Now they're not preaching exactly the word you live right, but the essence of it is you gotta live right, you gotta live right, you gotta live right. But that doesn't cause people to live right. It is changing their minds, which is the word repentance, metanoia. When they change their minds, they will live right. Amen. Are you listening, people? You know, we believe God for healing. We believe God for finances to come in at the end of the month, whatever, to pay off this. We believe God for a supernatural cancellation of debt. We believe God that, you know, God will bless us with open doors. We believe God will change our life. God will renew our youth and strength. And all that's wonderful. But the main thing, in fact, your faith can get dissipated in so many areas. The only thing God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Amen. Use your faith to believe every single day that you are righteous by faith.
Today, Joseph wants to give you his book, The Power of Right Believing, completely free. Discover the freedom God wants you to have in your life. And read many amazing stories from people all around the world whose lives have been transformed all through the power of knowing their true identity in Christ. This book is absolutely free. Just pay for shipping and handling and get your copy today. This offer is available to U.S. residents only.
And I just want to say a word here to all the believers that are being oppressed, going through depression and going through all kinds of, mind games. And you feel like at night you can't even sleep because you have all these thoughts you are battling. Even your body is still, right? Your mind is like a war room, you know? And you hear all kinds of thoughts. And I know because I've been there before. Amen. And friend, this is warfare. And God has given us weapons. And our weapons are not material. They're not carnal. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, carnal means anything you can do naturally. Amen? No. God's weapons are not carnal. When it's not carnal, means God's weapons are spiritual. Amen? But they are mighty. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For what? For pulling down strongholds. If we can find where the strongholds are, we can bring it down, right? Notice also that the Bible says that this pulling down of strongholds is actually casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that's our warfare. It's in our mind. Okay, the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Thank God, the weapons of God are mighty for what? The pulling down of strongholds. Let's pull them down in Jesus' name today, amen? Praise the Lord. And notice that these strongholds are actually arguments that the devil has put in your mind. And they are actually thoughts. Notice, arguments. And every high thing, every thought, and what the devil does is that he comes to you and put a thought in your mind, and this is the nature of the warfare. The warfare is not outside, you know. It's not a matter of like meeting someone and then they're demon-possessed and that's warfare, we command it to come out. No, that's casting out demons. It's different. Amen. Spiritual warfare, we need to know first and foremost, where is the arena of the spiritual warfare? Where is it taking place? And it's happening in our mind. So the mind is the battle arena, all right? That's where it happens. And the devil's stronghold is actually a pattern of thinking that he has put into your mind that has grown into a stronghold after a number of months, after a number of days, and sometimes even a number of years. It's been there for a long time. Now, you think those thoughts came from you. Always remember this, your emotions, right? A reflection of what you are thinking. That's what I just told my son the other day. If you feel bad, it's because you are thinking bad. You are thinking bad thoughts, right? Thoughts of darkness, things won't look good tomorrow. I don't think I'm able to do that, you know, and you are negative. So your emotions follow your thoughts. But if your thoughts are positive, I told him that, you know, Jesus will be with you. Amen. When you go to school, he's going to walk with you. He's going to be your best friend. Amen. He never leaves you. And your thoughts are positive. Guess what? Your emotions will be positive. Amen. So, my friend, your emotions are an indicator of what you are thinking. Because we are so used to thinking certain thoughts, it's been there for a number of years that we don't even know we are thinking those thoughts. But our emotions cannot lie. Our emotions, if you're experiencing depression, you're experiencing thoughts of self-loathing, you feel inferior, you feel lousy, you feel even boredom. It's always based on the thought that has preceded that emotion. Amen? So right, I always say right believing is so crucial, amen, to right living. But right believing also produces the right emotions, amen, the right emoting. Praise the Lord. So this area of warfare, my friend, is in your mind. Amen? And notice that the way we battle the enemy is just with one thought. Every time, whatever thoughts come to you, just come back with one thought. And this is the thought. Bring all the arguments. Bring every high thing the devil's tried to establish or may have established in your mind. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's very important because the phrase here is bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ, not your obedience. And it's not saying make every thought obey Christ. That would be in the Greek, obey would be in the verb. But over here, if you look up this word in the Greek, obedience is a noun. The word obedience is a noun, not a verb. If you say bring every thought to obey Christ, then it becomes a verb. You have to bring all those thoughts to the obedience of Christ, not your obedience, but His obedience. What does that mean? The obedience. In the original, the definite article is there. The obedience of the Christ. That's in the original. So what is that? It's referring to one obedience. What Jesus did at the cross. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. People are sinners because of Adam's sin. People sin because they are sinners. They are sinners not because they sin. They are sinners because of one man's disobedience. One man's disobedience made people sinners. Amen? That first man, Adam. By the same token, look at this. This analogous with this. Also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Friend, we talk about being established in righteousness. How are we made righteous? How are you made righteous? How? By one man's obedience. Who is that one man? Jesus. So every time all these thoughts come, there's only one answer. Turn it back to His obedience made me righteous. I have the gift of righteousness. Amen. Declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. When the devil comes and say, look at what you have done or what you have not done or what you have not done enough, I'll focus on one man's obedience made me righteous. That's bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought to whose obedience? His obedience that made us righteous.
The more you believe in God's love for you, the more you'll experience breakthroughs, success, and victories in every area of your life. Get Joseph's book, The Power of Right Believing, completely free today. Find courage, hope, and encouragement to break free from the setbacks that have been holding you back. This book is completely free. Just pay for shipping and handling and receive your copy today. This offer is available to U.S. residents only.
I want to share with you something today that I believe is going to bless you and help you see your Father in heaven differently, have a greater appreciation for our Lord Jesus, and get answered prayers in your life. I'm going to attempt, by the grace of God, to destroy every erroneous thinking in your mind, especially in the area of prayer. Why pray if God is all-knowing? Why pray if God is all-knowing, right? And the thing is this, this kind of reasoning, this kind of wrong thinking, wrong believing will cause you not to pray because you say that God knows all my needs anyway. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked on prayer. Over here, he says, therefore, do not be like the Gentiles, people who do not know God, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. My Father knows, God knows all my needs before I ask Him, so why pray? And yet the next verse says, in this manner, therefore pray. Because the Father knows your needs, in this manner, therefore, He didn't say, in this manner, therefore, don't pray. On the contrary, He says, because your Father knows your needs before you ask Him, now ask. Amen. In other words, God says, I have all these blessings right now I'm about to bring into your life. Favor, wisdom, amen, health, wholeness, amen. But I need something from your side. What is it? You must consent. You must agree for me to bless you. I cannot bless you beyond your free will. Do you want this blessing? Prayer is nothing more than an open heart, open mind, open life, open hands. Remember this. You bring nothing to God. We are all empty. God, the source, brings all His blessings and gifts into your life. Amen. So prayer is just an expression of, here is my open hand. God cannot bless someone, no matter how sincere the person is, if he has a closed mind, closed heart, closed hands, and saying things like, if God want to bless me, God bless me. And that's why amen is an expression of, so be it. It's a prayer. It's the shortest prayer I know, amen. Which means if you hear the word of God being preached, and you say amen, God says, angel, that one wants. Amen. That lady wants it. All right, pour it on her. Another one say, amen. All right, angel, this one wants it. Pour it on him. Amen. The pastor, how long do I keep on praying? Keep on praying. Now, why keep on praying? Why keep on praying? Because there is an enemy. Like I said, if it's Garden of Eden and there's no enemy, there's no need to keep on praying. In fact, you hardly have to pray. You just think and God answers. But don't forget, if we're in a fallen world, we need to show God our open hands. And that comes by prayer. Even when Jesus was here as a man, he would rise up early in the morning and he would pray. If the Son of God prays, how much more you and I? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Therefore you fight. Therefore you are jealous, you are envy, you lust, and you cannot have. James chapter 4. It says you lust, you covet because you cannot have. And then you assassinate people's character. You say bad things and all that because you are jealous of what they have. And then the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Amen. So when we have not, we start, you know, a good case in mind was David. The Bible tells us that David, in that day and age, all right, that the king has a number of wives, okay? Yet he chose this one man's wife, committed adultery with her. You all know the name of that girl, right? What's her name? Bathsheba. Saw her taking a bath, all right? And committed adultery with her, had a son by her, and had her husband murdered. Then God sent a prophet to David, and the prophet says these words. You can check it out in your Bible. If God says, I took you from the sheepfold to shepherd my people Israel. I did this. I gave you. I bless you. And then God says, if that was not enough, I would have given you more. Did you hear that? Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, keep on asking. Original Greek. Keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking, the door will open. The year of the open door. Asking starts with A. Seeking starts with S. Knocking starts with A. K. Ask. Look at this verse. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, number one, the first part. He who did not spare his own son. Who is the he? The father. He did not spare his own son. Who is this son? The son that he loves. Twice, the Bible tells us, God opened up the river Jordan and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God said that when Jesus was baptized. And then we have the highest place, Mount Hermon, when the father says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am pleased. Hear him. Jesus pleased the Father like no other man ever did. Because he lived as a man. He pleased God as a man, though he is fully God. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son. Who did God give up? Who did God not spare so that we can be spared? The Son that he loved. Wrong believing will give you wrong living. Wrong thinking will bring you to bondage. Right believing will give you right living and right results. So believe right about God. Can you trust a God who gave up the best heaven has, the son that he loved? He will not spare his heart the pang. Don't forget, there's nothing as sensitive as love. And God is love. Amen. How it must have pained God's heart to give up that son and delivered him to what? To what? To glory? To fame? No, delivered him up to shame and spitting. Persecution, hatred, and finally, death for us all. See, you're worth God's son. That's how you're worthed. God gave that one great gift unasked. No one asked. If God gave the greatest gift unasked, how will he not give the lesser gifts for the asking? This is the gospel. This is not religion. This is the gospel.
One of the reasons that I wrote this book is because in this book, you have so many testimonies. Pat, who lives in Ohio, wrote me this email. I have been suffering from a spinal cord and disc injury for which there was no cure. Spine specialists refused to operate on me unless I came to the stage when part of my body became paralyzed, which is a usual course of events. I had been in a state of pain and was physically incapacitated for more than 2 years. Initially, when I started listening to you, I did not believe what you taught regarding holiness, fullness of blessings and righteousness through faith in the finished work of Christ. When I got sick and bedridden, I continued to watch you as I was unable to do more. Once I embraced these truths, Once I embrace these truths, it's not just, you know, listening, but believing it, embracing it. Once I embrace these truths, my physical condition began to change. Since feeding on your teachings, I have regained use of my body, and most of the previously excruciating pain has subsided. To Jesus be all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Amen.
It's time to break free from a life of defeat and step into a life full of victory, security, and success. Get Joseph's book as our gift to you, completely free. Discover simple and practical keys to freedom that you can begin to apply in your life every day. Just pay for shipping and handling to receive this limited time offer today. This offer is available to U.S. residents only.
You know, when you're born again, you are born the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are created in righteousness and true holiness. And notice the way we move away from the bad habits and the former conduct of the old man into the new man, who we really are, is by the renewing of our minds. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And how do you do it? By focusing on the fact that today, you and I, in our minds, we must focus on this. And the transition is made by focusing on the fact that we are today created in righteousness and true holiness. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So if I ask you the question, why are you righteous today? Is it because of your obedience? No. It's because of the one man's obedience. Who is that? Jesus. And the Bible says this warfare in 2 Corinthians 10. It says we are to bring our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Always focus on the fact that it is His obedience that made you righteous. It is His work that made you righteous. Hallelujah. And that obedience there is referring to is obeying the Father by dying on that cross. Amen. That obedience made me righteous. Because once upon a time, it was Adam's disobedience that made me a sinner. Very clear, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I know there are many watching here today, and you have never encountered this gospel before. You have been told that you need to obey, you need to live your life in a way that God will be pleased, and then when you die, He'll bring you to heaven. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is actually this, that the fact that you're a sinner, you know why you're a sinner? Because Adam sinned, the first man sinned, and sin has been in the blood of mankind ever since. You're born a sinner. And you say, it's unfair. Actually, you think about it. If your grandfather died when he was 3 years old, you won't be here today. You won't be saying unfair. It's just a matter of, it's a fact of life. Now, listen carefully. Sometimes, you and I, we still fail, which means we don't obey God as we should. But guess what? Our obedience did not make us righteous. Neither does our disobedience make us unrighteous. It is His obedience that made me righteous. God put it out of the equation, all right, where man can boast of their own works and efforts. God put it out of man's efforts, amen, into a realm where it cannot be touched even by the devil. Hallelujah. Unless the devil can remove Jesus today from the throne, then you and I can be unrighteous. But no way. God has put it in a way that Jesus sits down because His work is once and for all. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. In Hebrews 10, it tells us one sacrifice for sins forever. Not like the priest of old, standing daily, offering repeatedly. Standing daily, offering repeatedly. Then came Jesus. And He said, tells us that this man offered one sacrifice, not repeatedly, one sacrifice Himself on the cross. Amen. And then instead of standing daily like the priest of old, He sat down once and for all. Hallelujah. He sat down because His work is finished. Praise the name of Jesus. Even if there's some nagging temptation or sin that's always getting at you, friend, just keep on confessing who you are. The devil wants to define you by your habit. The devil wants to define you by your failures. Yeah, even the recent failure. The devil wants to define you by your sinful thoughts. But that's not who you are. You're still in a journey. Always remember this principle. Who you are
is your standing. What you do is your state. Sometimes you are depressed. Okay, sometimes you are sad. Sometimes you feel rebellious. You want to rebel. Sometimes you feel, you know, good. You want to do something good. But that is your state. Your state fluctuates. Your standing don't. Your standing remains forever. Who you are is the righteousness of God. That is your standing. Never, never judge your standing by your state. Your state fluctuates. It can be good, it can be bad another day. Okay, but your state doesn't define your who you are, your real person, your standing. That is permanent. Always judge your state by your standing. Look at your sin square in the eye. Don't deny it. Don't excuse it. Look at it and say, this is not who I am. I am not a resentful person. I'm not an angry person. I'm not a depressed person. I'm not a fearful person. This is not who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Judge your state by your standing. Never let the devil tell you that you are your state, that your state defines you. Never judge your standing by your state. The day that you know, by not just by your head, amen, but in your heart, that you have become the righteousness of God. And even though you feel unrighteous, even when you are failing, even when you are far away from God, if you have truly been born again, you are still the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. You just need to shake off that sinful habit. You need to walk out of it because that's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope that you've been blessed. To help you continue your journey of uncovering the freedom God has for your life, I want to give you my book, The Power of Right Believing. In it, you'll read many stories from precious people all around the world who have written to me to share how they have broken free from all kinds of bondages and addictions, all through the power of right believing. You'll also find 7 powerful keys to help you begin your journey towards right believing, such as belief in God's love for you, have a confident expectation of good, and how to win the battle for your mind. This book is absolutely free, and you only have to cover the cost of shipping and handling. Just go to the website that is listed on your screen right now to make your request. This offer is available only for a very limited time and valid only within the United States. It is my gift to you, and I know it will make a difference in your life. I believe with all my heart that freedom from a lifestyle of defeat is found only in our Lord's unconditional love. The more you believe in God's love for you, the more you experience breakthroughs, success, and victory in every area of your life. Friend, I'm praying for you. Have a blessed week, and I'll see you again soon.